My name's Stan, if you don't know me, and I'm the lead pastor here and proud father of four grown children, three grandchildren, and another grandchild on the way, and the lead pastor here as well. And today's a day that we set aside to celebrate fathers. We celebrate what they mean to us. And for some, this is an exciting day. Some of you fathers right now are enjoying some burnt toast as your breakfast in bed while you're watching church online. That's exciting stuff for you. Give those kids a hug. Love them for it. For many of us, our kids, both young and old, will be using today to celebrate us and remind us of how important we are in their life. But for some, it's actually a painful time. Some of us grieve the loss of our fathers. My father died at the young age of 42. I was 20 years old when he died, and I hadn't grown up enough. I wasn't mature enough to have had those moments of being able to realize how important and impactful he was in my life and to let him know I appreciated his tremendous sacrifice in my life. The pattern of how we relate to our fathers kind of goes something like this down through the ages. When we are 4 years old, we say, "My daddy can do anything." At 8 years old, we say, "My dad is better than your dad." At 12 years old, we say, "My dad doesn't know anything," right? At 14, "My dad is so embarrassing," right? And then at 21, "My dad just doesn't understand the world today. Things have changed." And at 25, they start asking questions. "Dad, why didn't you tell me such and such?" And dads, you know, we told them and told them and told them, but they just don't remember. And then at 30 years old, they might think, "Oh, he comes up with a good idea every now and then," right? And then at 35, they'll start saying, "Okay, we got to find out what dad thinks before we make this decision." At 50, we might be asking, "What would dad have thought?" And at 60, you might be saying, "I wish I could talk it over with dad one more time." So my first challenge for you today on this Father's Day is very simply, for those that still have fathers around, don't wait. Don't let that progression go. Stop that cycle and appreciate them now. For others, it's a painful day because you didn't necessarily have a good father. Maybe you had an abusive father. Maybe your father was absent. Possibly you don't even know your father. And that makes today sad. Some desperately want to be a father, but for whatever reason, that hasn't happened yet. And it's maybe not in the plan. And you grieve deeply about that. Can I say, our prayers are with you. If today is a difficult day for you, we're praying for you as you celebrate this day. In my reflection on what to share with you this Father's Day, I considered many of the fathers in the Bible, in Scripture. There are heaps of both good and bad examples, and many times, both good and bad examples are seen in the same person. You might remember Abraham. Abraham followed hard after God. He was the father of the nation of Israel. God told him, "I'm going to make many nations out of you." And he followed God to the point that at one point he took his son and he was going to sacrifice his son on an altar. He's going to plunge a knife into his chest because God had told him to. God stopped him and rescued his son and all that. But Abraham then was the same one that ended up lying about who his wife was to save his own skin from a king. Then maybe you would have heard of Noah. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he built a big ark, and he got his family on it, rescued him and his family and two of every animal from the worldwide flood. And then when that was all over, Noah celebrated, he got drunk, ended up in his tent naked where his sons found him. And then David, wow. David, a man after God's own heart. He's the one who killed Goliath, and we love that story. But David is also the man who had a child with a woman who wasn't his wife and then killed her husband to cover that up. The list could go on and on. And as I considered what example from Scripture to use today to share with you today, I remembered something. Back when I was doing a home reno, back when we lived in the U.S., I don't even try to do those things anymore. I realize that's not my gift. But I was trying to build a wall. And when I tried to build that wall, I started with one stud, okay? And I used that stud, and then I marked the next board and cut that one, okay? And then I set the original board aside, and I used that second board to cut the third board. And then I used the third board to cut the fourth board, and so on. You get the picture. But what I found out is the further you get removed from that original template, the further out you get. So what I decided to do today was go back to the original template and look at God the Father. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 13 says this: "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." What that tells us is that there is an infinite, perfect, holy, majestic God who is passionately in love with insignificant, sinful, rebellious, apathetic, and indifferent people. God loves people like you and like me. That is a great example for us to follow. A guy called Jim Nicodem, he's a theologian, said this: when it comes to his love for sinful people, God's got a long fuse, a short memory, a thick skin, and a big heart. I decided today to use that quote as an outline for what I want to share with you today, looking from Psalm 103 as the text for that. It says in verse 7, "He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel." And then the following verses are a echo or a quote from what he said in Exodus chapter 34. So you can go back and read Exodus 34 to get the original context of all this. But in verse 8, it says this: "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." So the first thing we learn here is that our loving Father has a long fuse. He has a long fuse. He is patient. He was patient with Israel over and over and over and over again. Their pattern was something like this. God was blessing them, then they would decide to reject him. Life would get hard. They would repent. Then he would restore, and then they would repeat over and over again. One of those times when Moses was on Mount Sinai, they're hearing from God, getting the Ten Commandments. They chose to put all their jewelry together, melt it down, and make a golden calf, and they started worshiping this calf. So Moses then is coming down off the mountain with these two big stone tablets with Ten Commandments on it, and he saw what they were doing, and he got angry, and he smashed the commandments. The only time that we know of that someone broke all Ten Commandments at the same time. Yeah, dad joke for Father's Day. How's that? You know, when that happened, God was ready to destroy them and start over. He said, "Moses, I'm going to start over with you." And Moses said, hey, please don't. God held back. God was slow to get angry, full of unfailing love. You know, God exercises great patience with you and with me as well. And I'm so thankful for that, because he wants us to turn from our sin, to be obedient, to seek forgiveness and follow after him. That's his goal for us. And it is so great that God has a long fuse, because you and I are just like Israel. People haven't changed. We are just like them, where we will reject, repent, he'll restore, and we put it on repeat. Fathers and everyone else. By the way, this is a Father's Day message, but we can apply this to everyone in all of your relationships. We need to recognize God's example of having a long fuse, of his patience, and answer the question, how long is your fuse? How do you respond when things happen that you're not happy with? Are you quick-tempered and you respond in anger? Maybe you respond by abusing, heaping shame, guilt, condemnation on the person that you're upset with? Or do you respond with mercy and compassion? Do you respond with love and understanding, even in correction? Are you patient with those that disappoint you? Not only does he set a great example by having a long fuse, but it says this in verse 9. It says, he will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. That tells us that our loving Father has a short memory. God is forgetful. Wow. Okay, don't take that out as a soundbite and try to, tell everybody I said God forgets, because we know that God doesn't forget, but he chooses not to get historical with us. Yeah. He doesn't keep a list of all the times that we have failed, and he doesn't bring it back up every time we mess up. I remember a moment that actually launched Deanna and I into ministry. We were new youth leaders in our church, and there was some families in the church that didn't like some things the youth director was doing. So they called a meeting with the pastor and the deacons of the day, and we were invited to this meeting, and we didn't know what this meeting was all about. And then the youth director's there, the deacons and the pastor, and we're there kind of in the background, not knowing what's going on. And they started going around the room one by one, sharing their grievances of the things that this guy had done historically. There was one particular person that I remember when they came to him. He reached in his shirt pocket and he pulled out a notebook. And he started going page after page of his list of things that he had kept. The end result that day, Deanna and I became the youth directors. If I knew everything I know now, back then I would have probably said no. It was like, welcome to ministry. Had a sick feeling in my stomach that day. And we let them know that we didn't think what they had just done was great. I am so thankful that God isn't like that. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 16, he paraphrasing says, if I kept throwing up in your face your past failures, you would wither up and die. You could not handle it. Aren't you glad he has a short memory? How is your memory when it comes to your relationships? Do you keep a list of all the times that your kids have messed up? Husbands, wives, do you keep a list of all the times your partner has failed you? Kids, have you got your own list about how bad your parents are? What about your friends or maybe former friends? Do you have lists that you rehearse all the time for yourself of how those people hurt you? Let me ask you, how's that worked out for you? Did it make the relationship better? I know the answer. No way. What you did in that relationship, you discouraged that person immensely. Made them feel like maybe they'll never be good enough because you're always throwing that list back up to them. Leads them to a place of, why bother even trying? I know I'm not going to get it right because you're reminding me of the failure that I am. Repeating past failures to those that we actually love results in a defeated, dejected person in a very unhealthy relationship. Can I encourage you today, throw away your list. Throw it away. You might have to spend a lot of time in prayer to throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. And if you've got a notebook, burn it! Really? Don't keep lists in notebooks. God's example. I won't stay mad at you and keep accusing you. Our loving Father, short fuse. Or long fuse, short memory. And in verse 10, he says this, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Our loving Father has a thick skin. The word the Bible uses for this is forbearing. If God punished us every time we deserved it, we would be in a constant state of discipline. If he gave us a timeout or a spanking or whatever it is that he would do, every time we had a selfish thought, every time we said an unkind word, every time we were materialistic, every time that we did something outside of what is holy and righteous, we would be miserable all the time. He chooses to overlook our failures sometimes completely. Says, love covers a multitude of sin. That's our God. Sometimes you and I, we need to just let something go through to the keeper. You know what? Our kid may mess up and they may deserve punishment. But there are times, friends, that it would be better if we just let it go. Choose your battles is kind of the way I look at it when you're growing up. Because if everything's a battle, then you've got a war. And it's not going to be profitable in the end. They may deserve to be punished, but you can choose to show mercy. Why don't we do that? I believe it's because many times we don't do that. We don't show mercy because we ourselves have thick skin. We take the wrong that someone has done to us personally as an assault on us. For example, it goes something like this. Well, I've told the kid to clean the room. They didn't clean their room. So that means that they don't respect me. Or it might just mean that your kid doesn't want to clean the room. Might not have anything to do with their respect for you. Or maybe you've told your three-year-old she's not sharing toys enough, even though you've told her time, you've got to share with your cousins and your brothers and your sisters. And now she's not sharing, so she is disobeying me. She is against me. She is defying my authority. Or maybe it's that psychologically, children don't understand the concept of sharing until they're 7 or 8 years old. Yeah. Friends, when people offend us, when people do something wrong towards us, we've got to have thicker skin and not take it all personally. See, we have expectations of other people, and those expectations are built up for a variety of reasons. And when people don't meet our expectations, when our experience of them is different than our expectation of them, we feel disappointed. We feel assaulted, like they did that intentionally towards us. That's thin skin. The reality is they may not have even known we had expectations. The example of our loving Father, have a thick skin, be forbearing, show mercy, and sometimes just let it go. So he has a long fuse, a short memory, a thick skin. And verse 11 says this, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Our loving Father has a big heart. He loves us immeasurably. We cannot fathom how much our God loves us. There is no end to his love for us. It says he's forgiving as far as east is to west. East and west never meet. It tells us in Micah chapter 7:19, some other pictures of what he does with our sin. He casts them to the depths of the sea. Isaiah 38:17 says he puts it behind his back so that he can't see it. Isaiah 44:2 says he sweeps it away like the morning mist burned off by the sun. Jeremiah 31:34 says he will refuse to remember it. God has a huge heart for you. He loves you more than you can imagine. He's forgiven you more than you will ever know. And for some of you today, you need to lean into this. You need to hear this. Because there was a time at one point that you experienced his great love, his great mercy, his infinite grace. But you find yourself struggling to live in that space. You find yourself struggling because you know you. And you're beating yourself up all the time. Friends, can I invite you to lean into his love, lean into his forgiveness? That's his heart for you. And then let others see your big heart for them. Let them find peace and rest knowing that you love them more than they could imagine. That no matter how bad things get, no matter what they do, you're not going to stop loving them. and forgive them like God does, east to west. Have a short memory. So why? Why does our loving Father have a long fuse, a short memory, a thick skin, and a big heart for us? It tells us in verse 14. I love this. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Yeah, wow. When I read that, it made me smile. It made me choke up with a tear to my eye. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. He made us, and he knows that we are human. He knows that we are frail. Our loving Father understands our frailty. You know, we're going to have days when we are victorious and on top of the mountain. And we're going to have days when we fail miserably and we wonder why he even loves us anymore. I'm reminded of Elijah. Elijah had a great day on Mount Carmel. You might remember the story where he called out the prophets of Baal, and he all day long they tried to get Baal to light a fire and to no avail. And then Elijah built an altar and put water all over it and all around it and everything, and he prayed to his God, and God burnt it up, right? You remember that? It was a great victory that day against all the prophets of Baal. He would be high on the mountaintop. But then, on the heels of that, Jezebel, the queen, got ticked off at Elijah and said, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you. Okay, he just took on 400 prophets of Baal and won under the power of God. When Jezebel threatened him, he did a runner. And he's hiding in a cave. What did God do on Elijah's bad day? Did he go to Elijah and say, you failure! You're lousy. Why did I trust you with anything? You just can't do anything right. No, 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 no. That wasn't our loving Father. Our loving Father met him where he was. He said, Elijah, have a rest. And Elijah, have something to eat. And God provided the food. And he said, have a bit of a rest again. And then get up, have some more food. Replenish, refresh. And God restored him and used him mightily over and over again. You and I are weak. We are weak. God knows that. And that is why he can have a long fuse, short memory, thick skin, and big heart for us. Too often we forget that we are weak. I'm going to be honest with you right now. This is something I've been struggling with over the last few weeks, is my own feeling of inadequacy. Feeling like in the middle of this pandemic and everything that we've been going through, like I don't even know what to do anymore sometimes. And as I was preparing this message, and I came to verse 14, it says, he knows you're weak and that you are like dust. You are just dust. It was a sigh of relief. It's like, thank you, God, because you know I'm weak. We need to embrace the fact we are dust and rest in the fact that God knows that and he will care for us. Think about that in your relationship with others. You know, God knows we are weak. Do we forget that others are weak? Do we expect too much? How do we handle it when they fail? Friends, if we remember that they are weak, we need to ask ourselves, if I remember that you're weak, how's that going to change my response to you when you let me down? If I remember you're weak, because I know I'm weak. Friends, I think we would stop and we would encourage them on their worst days. We would help them in their weakness, because that, my friends, is when they need us the most. It may feel to you and to me like they don't deserve our care, our encouragement. They may deserve our chastisement, but friends, they need us the most when we think that they deserve it the least. We all need help. Let's wrap all of this up. We all need help with our relationships. Fathers, you need help, right? Yeah. Moms, you need help. Kids, you need help. A few questions we need to ask ourselves. How long is my fuse? Do I just fly off the handle and get angry and abuse people when I'm upset? Or do I have a long fuse? Am I patient? How short is my memory? Do I have my list? Again, I would ask you, maybe a little more gently this time, if you have a list, please burn it. How thick is my skin? Don't run around thin-skinned, just getting offended by every little thing. And then how big is my heart? Am I willing to exercise love and forgiveness over and over again? If, like me, your answer to these questions isn't what you would like it to be, let me encourage you with this. If I acknowledge my own weakness and embrace the response of my loving Father, first of all, start there. Acknowledge your own weakness and embrace the response of your loving Father. Rest in that for a moment. And then if I do that, then I am able to accept the weakness of others and emulate the response of their loving Father. Acknowledge your own and embrace his love. Accept theirs and emulate his love. Friends, it's Father's Day. Hope you enjoy it. I hope you go out and, you probably can't go out, but make Father's Day as special as you can. Call your dad, even if you didn't think you had a great dad. Try to exercise some of those things today. And then in all of your relationships, have a long fuse, short memory, thick skin, and a big heart. Father, thank you for being a good, good Father who loves us immeasurably, who forgives all our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 103, verse 14, that says, you know that I'm weak and that I am only dust. Thank you for that assurance, Lord, when I beat myself up. Lord, I pray that everybody hearing this would be able to claim that and then rest in your love and your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, thanks for joining us today. Happy Father's Day. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week.